Dan Levitard, if we're really being honest about it, it's just a giant piece of shit.
To the Big Suey.
Bald Eagles.
A podcast exclusive that none of our bosses asked for.
More sports.
More work. Less pay.
I haven't stopped talking in a month. I mean, I don't know what to tell you.
Just when you thought the show couldn't be more diluted. Bam.
Last time I listened to this show.
I haven't listened for years.
Now here's the marching band to nowhere.
Am I missing something? What am I missing?
The end of the story.
Fat face.
Chris Fallick.
It's Felica. You made him a penis.
And the habitual liar.
I didn't ask for any of this.
You asked for all of it.
The Big Suey.
I'm Chris Cody, BSPN.
Hello. Hello. Hello, audience. We have had a very difficult weekend. You may want answers here. Many of you have theories on everything going on with us, and we like to be transparent with the audience, and we're going to be transparent in this instance as well, no matter what it costs us. So thank you, first of all, okay, because for those of you who don't know why it is that I'm heartbroken, gutted, don't make your jokes about how substantive my gut is there and a gutting of Chris Cody. That's a lot of gutting. But Chris Cody, we were blindsided by him being let go. It's the greatest disrespect of my professional career that I got no notice, no collaboration, that Mike Ryan told me that Chris Cody had been let go, that I would have loved to have worked something out if somebody had told me. To protect him, because anyone who knows, Stugatz, what we do around here understands that we are a family, a dysfunctional pirate ship slash clown car that shouldn't exist inside this machine, but is so sticky with you guys, at least in part because you, the discerning among you, recognize in a way that's totally overwhelming. I can't tell you how you, the audience, with your support and your loyalty, somehow made one, probably the worst professional weekend of Chris Cody's life, better. God bless you, too, for helping his dad, because he was dragging his son's carcass around, the career carcass around all weekend, just trying to get the clicks off of it, because we weren't talking to you, we weren't giving any information, and we've been sitting here trying to rectify this. I didn't want to come on air and say anything that we would regret because I was emotional, heartbroken, angry, like just not able to sleep, angry.
Using the firing of his son for clicks. What's wrong with that?
That is correct. That is the Greg Cody way. He tried to scoop his son. He tried. I'm going to tell you some of the stories here because Greg Cody was an unholy nightmare this weekend just trying to get to the clicks. But before I do that, I just want to tell the audience how grateful we are for your outpouring that has inundated and continues to inundate ESPN to explain to them that you don't understand that this is a family.
You don't get the show.
You don't understand what Chris Cody meant to our entire group as someone that the only one everyone liked and never had a problem with ever.
You don't get the show.
And by not consulting us, the managers of this environment, by not asking us anything, like if there could be something that could be done. Let me tell you how hurt we were by this, okay? Just so that you understand. Stugatz has offered to cover half of Chris Cody's salary.
Yo, chicken thigh.
Well, that's the thing.
Don't believe that for a second, but proceed.
That's looked good, though, right?
I mean, it did look good.
Yeah.
All right, continue,
Dan. Well, I'm still waiting for him to give me half of your Christmas bonuses from last year. So fair enough.
I'm getting to him.
Fair enough on the subject of whether or not you believe him. Still, he offered it in what felt like a heartfelt gesture, if he had a heart that wasn't contaminated by greed.
The offer still stands, Dan.
It stands as an offer.
It's standing at the altar.
It's going to keep just standing there, and it's never going to move toward me. It's just going to stand until I move toward it, and then it's going to back away. That is correct. But let me before I go any further down this path, you have to understand something, okay? This time at the company has been horrible. So many people have been affected. We have been affected far less than anyone else. So I want it made clear that no matter how hurt I am about this, and I've been wounded by it, I very much understand that this is the product of a very dangerous time and brutal time for the company, and that we were affected less than most. The part that makes it so hurtful to me is that you blindsided me. It is not that you did it, because I understand. Look, it's a sprawling corporation. It is a giant beast. We are an accounting error. Never mind, Chris, we as a group are just something that, somebody can lop off a head without, it's just a number on a page. It's not anything human. Corporations don't tend to be human. And if someone had talked to me, I would have pleaded on the idea of humanity. So we have spent the last 5 days trying to figure out what it is that we can do with this. And I'm actually happy to report. And this is a pretty cool thing to be able to report, because it was required, some creativity was required from us in order to get here. But I'm going to hire Chris Cody as my personal assistant to fill the role with a raise on his present salary.
Right.
To fill the role vacated by Allison Turner.
You'll cover the raise?
I will cover the raise. I will cover the entire thing.
I'll split it with you.
Hold on. That's amazing for Chris, but what does it mean for our show?
It means that Chris Cody is still going to be on the show!
Thank you, Chris.
Thanks, everybody.
For the extra couple of vacation days. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you for a conveniently timed storm. This is all until someone finds out about it, right?
Wow. No more programming as cable for you, Mike.
Are we allowed to do this?
That'll be a good question. We will see. Mike's joke is a little too real, because since we're on ESPN Plus, I'm not sure that anyone at ESPN is actually going to notice for like 6 weeks. It's going to be so confusing when somebody, because they're not going to notice from just listening to the show. This is a big sprawling corporation. The people who oversee us don't even understand much of what we do. I can't wait till 8 weeks from now, because they're not going to see it on ESPN Plus. We missed our big unveiling on ESPN Plus because we were too wounded by all of this.
Thank you so much, Bart Scott. We appreciate you covering.
Was it Bart Scott and the handyman they replaced us with?
It was Bart Scott. I saw a still. I'm like, wow, this is some sort of launch.
So, Stugatz, the thing that you have to know, though, about poor Chris Cody is he spent the weekend, and Chris is here. You haven't heard from him yet, but he is here, and he spent the weekend all manner of terrified, because when I'm saying, look, I'm just going to hire you, this is the way we're going to do it, he's like, well, are they okay with that? And I'm like, Chris, what are they going to do, fire you again?
Right.
And then he gets scared, and he's like, shouldn't I check with so-and-so? And I'm like, Chris, I'm your boss now. They're not your boss anymore. Like, what do you mean, should you check with so-and-so?
You needed a personal assistant. You got one.
I've needed one for a while since ESPN stole Allison. So, Chris, what has this all been like for you? Because Chris has been worried about a million different things. He's scared. I wouldn't have actually wished this weekend, as much as you guys buoyed him, I wouldn't wish this weekend on people, because it was really unpleasant to lose your job publicly. I felt like all of it could have been avoided if someone had just had a conversation with me.
Right.
And he doesn't want people to think, Stugatz, that any of this is a bit, like that we orchestrated any of this. Like, it would be a pretty great bit in order to test the audience's loyalty, but he's afraid of all of it looking self-serving, which it is for his dad.
This is all just meta. We're trying to get you more likable, Dan.
Greg Cody is that's what the focus group showed, that I'm not likable enough.
It was generally centered around your fat face, so we're like, how do we counterbalance this? Because there's no shrinking of the face.
And I'm very likable, so if you want to pay the full freight on Chris's salary, have at it. I think it will do you a lot of good, Dan. I mean,
Chris, how are you? How have you been? Just you made your father's podcast third overall in sports because we weren't talking to anybody.
And, I hate that guy.
I mean, he was so bad this weekend. Chris, tell the people how shitty he was, just sort of chasing you around trying to get this story while, like, Synergy on Twitter of the saddest story I've ever written. For the exclusive interview, check out my podcast, The Greg Cody Show, featuring Greg Cody, where I interview my son about his sadness.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm, like, emotional right now. This is weird, like, after what happened on Thursday and, like, now being back here in this Zoom. Like, I'm actually, like, oddly emotional right now. But, yes, my dad's the worst. He for sure made this weekend worse and more stressful for me. Like, that is just a fact.
Did he make it better in any way?
I mean, he told me he loved me a couple times. But, like, I mean, I'm so, like, just, I don't know. I'm so moved right now by you guys and the support by you guys especially and the show and the fans and the rare, terrifying, and heartwarming weekend. What can I say? Like, this is... I don't know what to say right now. I'm so grateful for everything and the support and this and you guys allowing me to be here. And Dan, you and Stugatz, like, I'm just so moved. And thank you.
I'm going to seize on a word that Chris said, which was support, because that's part of ESPN fan support. And remember how we often use that as a bit. And they got super annoyed. Corporate got super annoyed because that is a very real thing. There are people manning these stations and taking back these little items of feedback and running it up the corporate chain. And they have been absolutely flooded and inundated. And it's making a difference. It's getting people to notice, and it's something the likes of which they've never seen. So thank you so much for doing that.
But that's the part. Like, how do you guys not understand what this audience loves about the show? That it's this weird dysfunctional group that's like The Office, that love one another, and it's just a weird thing that exists. And when you take Chris Cody out of it as the guy, I'm not kidding when I tell you, we have all sorts of things around here because we're all different personalities. No one here has ever had any issue for 5 seconds with anything involving Chris Cody.
Just who his father is.
Right. Well, there's that. I mean, you are his demon sperm just because, like, he's awful. Like, I can't explain to you how awful he was this week. And I was in an argument with him late last night because he told everyone that we were coming back. And I'm like, Greg, your podcast is third is because of our silence on this. Like, what are you doing?
He actually argued, like, I've received no indication that this was some sort of secret. Well, how's this for indication? Number one, you thought it was newsworthy for a reason, Jack. And number two, there is silence on it. It's because we don't want anybody to know. This is all very fluid. We were figuring stuff out up until this morning, up until we turned on the mics. So we don't want anything out there that could be dated the second that we say it.
The last thing he texted me last night was that he wants to frame the picture of his podcast being third on the list.
All the way to third, huh?
Yes, all the way.
Joy stupidity this week. I mean, feel free.
Chris, what did I tell you about this as a career 5 years ago? What did I tell you?
You told me that this is a roller coaster of a career. Oh, man. What a weekend.
I told you not to do it, Chris. I told you and your father not to choose this as a career because it's such an incredibly shitty business.
It's so funny you said that. I find myself, as we get older, telling more and more people, stay away from this industry. Yeah. I really do.
And to what Dan was saying about being absolutely blessed, this is like our fourth layoff experience with ESPN, and each time we've survived it, and it could be because we either were recently signed or we had good relationships with management, and obviously something's changed, right? You see the writing on the wall. The show is shrinking. We're now on ESPN+.
Well, it's not actually shrinking. No. It seems like the moves they make make it feel like they're trying to shrink us, but it continues to grow. And again, we cannot articulate to you enough, Like, your support is meaningful. It is something that is tangible. What are you laughing about, Stu Gantz?
Billy, go ahead. I mean, just take your shot at me because it's very funny.
Well, Stu Gantz is saying that he tells younger people don't get into this industry, and I'm telling him that so that the younger people don't come and take his job.
It's a little self-serving there. We're shrinking across mediums that I've never really cared too much about. Now, that might be my failings as executive producer, but we keep growing in the one space that I've cared about almost exclusively for several years, and that's a podcast, and each single one of these moves keeps making it bigger. It also has made the Greg Cody Show featuring Greg Cody a little bit bigger. This is a weird dynamic for radio. No one really gets into Chris's position as a career. No one really sets aside, here are my hopes and dreams, I'm going to be a radio producer. It's really an entry-level job, and you use it to keep ascending. Part of the reason why we stick is because we're such an outlier. People don't stay together as a unit, and we have so many exceptions to the rule. Look, we were producing a day part of ESPN Radio for 2 years without being ESPN employees. We were employed by Entercom and Lincoln Financial. There's all sorts of unique things that come along with this show. And the fact that there wasn't a conversation being had, I was also very hurt by that.
Chris, now, are you still scared? You walked into here today scared. You were scared all weekend. You way overthought as your father pestered you wanting to break the story. Tell me more about the conversations, how that went on, how you two decided how you were going to release this news, and you couldn't have expected anything that resembled this outpouring.
No, my dad, of course, was letting me know that he was there for me if that wanted to be the way that I announced it. It was very nice of him, very heartwarming. I could feel the love
selfless
in him.
Yes.
Yes. And then, you know, I could have just said nothing and let it like come out however you guys said it, like, because I was envisioning this show being without me. So I was like, I kind of wanted to control the messaging and let my appreciation for ESPN get out there. And that was kind of important to me. And I didn't know if I did it first on the podcast, if that would be conveyed. I didn't want ESPN to think I was trying to sensationalize this announcement. So I wanted to do it.
Even as your dad tried to sensationalize this announcement.
And he didn't understand that like tug of war I was having. Like, he's just like, what? It has to be announced. Why can't we just do it on the podcast? And it's just like, I want this to like, I am appreciative for ESPN. So I want to get out there first, and then however the reaction happens to it, we'll just deal with that. But it was important to me to like control the messaging.
And how about now in terms of fear? Like, what's happening right now as we sit here? Because we honestly don't know. This is not a bit. I don't know how this is going to go over. I really am curious. Like, I think there's the possibility that people will not notice for weeks that he is here just because it's a big company. A lot of people oversee a lot of different things. And because we're now on ESPN Plus, like, I don't see a lot of executives actively watching this show on ESPN Plus. It's not like they're going to walk by their televisions and just see that someone who was laid off last week with much fanfare is still on their televisions on ESPN News.
We'll see. I feel like they're probably paying attention today. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you're a big shot.
Mike's laughing at you.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is our first full cast experience on ESPN Plus, and I actually had a funny conversation with ESPN Plus. I was on a meeting announcing that we were on ESPN Plus, and I had to break it to people that we've actually been on ESPN Plus for 4 years, available on video on demand, and they had all sorts of questions about commercial music. I should have shut my mouth because I know no one knew that we were on this just from how the call was going. But now I can't use music as a bit anymore on the show. I have to take it out of program because it just dawned on them that we've been playing commercial music on video on demand for 5 years now.
Oh, my God. All right, so another way that the show, so the club is dead now?
The club is going to suck if you're watching on ESPN Plus.
Oh, that's terrible.
So, but can we play it anywhere?
I mean, I can. I'll play it on your headphones, but what happens on ESPN Plus still needs to be figured out. Maybe we have royalty-free music that goes on in the back. It'll now look and sound like the podcast does, where you don't have commercial music, but at least we always, whenever we were celebrating a big Heat victory or doing things like playing Neil Diamond's America, there was a portion of the audience that was either listening live or watching live that got the joke, and now it's just going to be us, and that's kind of stupid.
So did you get Chris right to work? Like, as your personal assistant. Has he done anything for you yet?
Well, he wasn't returning my calls quickly enough one day. That's
odd way of showing you care about the job.
That's has been his one of his first acts was just missing a call of mine because he was busy getting a haircut. And when he says that, he is talking about a single hair. He goes in to have one haircut.
I'm super excited about Dan requesting gluten-free quinoa smoothies at 10:30 on Saturday nights.
I'm super excited about you trying to deliver it and realizing your badge isn't working anymore.
I'm super excited. I don't have to pay for any of this.
Can you tell us, Chris, what the outpouring has been and felt like? Because again, and I can't say this enough because you guys are just overwhelming. Like, who does that? Who starts petitions? Who figures out their own way to let people know, hey, I'm not good with this. Like, I was stunned even understanding, Stugatz, that people come to our Moss events and they love us and what we do is loyal and sticky. The part that I was stunned by, and I want you to think about this because I don't feel like it has a whole lot of precedent anywhere in radio.
Mm-hmm.
It's a producer
on
a radio show, and ESPN has never been flooded by complaints by anything that they've done the way they're getting flooded with complaints about the letting go of a producer.
To your credit, it's not just a producer because, to your credit, you have formed this family. This is a dysfunctional family, but everyone has an on-air role, and the audience grows, and if you're a part of it, the audience will love you, and they'll love you forever, and they'll do anything for you. Any one of us, they'll do, I feel like. And so they continue. I'm telling you, Dan and I are 20 years into this. Their support continues to blow me and
Dan
away.
It's stunning. It's stunning. Big crocodile tears from Stugatz. We both noticed the love for the Shipping Container, I feel like, at the same time where they were on a stage at one of our events before they became the Moss events, and there was real adulation going on there, and they were a little floored by the intensity of the warmth, and you and I both started crying. Yep. Stugatz, of course, with the largest of crocodile tears. But Chris, what is it that you can tell us about how the outpouring reached you?
My God, like, from people I know, texting, like all the like people in our family of ESPN people I don't even know at ESPN. Tim Kirkchin sent me this long voice. He's the only person that didn't go text with the DM or a text. Like, he called me and he sent me a message. It was so nice. Like, so many people reaching out, and then the fans, like, good God, so many screenshots from people reaching out to that fan support. Like, it, like, Sunday night was so, because I kept it together from when I learned it on Thursday. And then on Sunday, when I finally tweeted it out, I sat in my back porch during a monsoon and just, I was crying. It was so moving, the support. And it was one of those things that I expected some support, but I was floored. And it's just like, it makes me, it's insane.
Be
so
honest.
Appreciative.
Be honest. Were you crying because of the listener reaction, or were you crying because you have a quarterback for the next two decades?
I mean, I'm not going to lie. This weekend wasn't too bad.
I wish I had the loser game show sound.
No,
the machine doesn't work. We're so neglected down here. I haven't a printer that works in 3 months. Yeah. Like, we are a weed growing in the ESPN radio empire. I've been asking Mike for a printer for 3 months after asking for a microphone for 3 months.
I offered to go buy one and split it with you. I was lying, of course, but I did offer it.
It's funny. Chris had a literal flood of emotions over the weekend. Curious timing to put that on the timeline, as everyone in South Florida is getting excited about the quarterback. But hey, I guess Greg Cody is inclined to do it however he wants. I didn't want to tell you how to grieve. I would have suggested maybe not that way, but go ahead.
Chris, do you guys know, I don't know what the fan support for people, if they want to keep doing it, because it was a very grassroots movement, and I don't know actually how it is, if you want to, and please be respectful, don't call anybody names and stuff, but your power has been felt. Hey, I know I joke around here a lot, Chris,
yep,
about the rage of Tim Kirkchin, because he's never actually been rabid with any of us. It's just a running joke that he's a sweet, sweet, decent man who everyone loves. He called me, and he was that kind of angry. Like, no joke. It's the angriest I've ever seen, and I've been friends with Tim Kirkchin for about 3 decades. It's the angriest that I've ever heard him.
Outside of telling him Ozzie Smith wasn't a Hall of Famer.
That one got even, him. Even, I mean, look that at, got him.
Look at Billy. Billy.
That's true, though. I mean, that's
Billy has carved out a lane. Billy, you as an anarchist and as a contrarian, you really have carved out a lane of bothering the legends, the sports writing legends around here with your takes. Like, you're almost never happier than when you bother Bob Ryan or Tim Kirkchin with some young guy take, and you just sort of light the fuse and then walk away in slow motion enjoying the explosion.
What do you mean?
That's his move. What do you mean is Billy's tell?
You just made him the John Cobretti of sports radio. I mean,
I have no idea who that is.
Neither do I. Who is that?
Cobra.
Jesus Christ, that's obscure.
I had a match.
I thought his code name was Cobra.
He threw it behind him and everything blew up.
I mean, it was just so a wait short a minute. Version of his real
so
last
wait
name.
A minute. Wait a minute. Cobretti. Hold on a second. Hold on. The Sylvester Stallone movie Cobra, which is, what are we talking about, 1988? Here is the reference you made. You just referred to Stallone's character. That how many people are going to know that reference, Stugatz, that you just made?
Nobody.
But yes, he had a matchstick in his mouth, and he would would he light it often, or did he just light it in the one signature move of the movie?
Rub it against his beard and then throw it?
He lit it off his tooth.
Oh, okay.
And first off, he had doused everything in gasoline, walked away from the things he doused in gasoline, lit the match off of his tooth, threw it behind him. Everything blew up. He had a big smile on his
face. Roy, you are our savant when it comes to minutiae around here and knowing things that nobody cares about. Were you aware that, what is the name of Cobra, Sylvester Stallone?
John Cobretti.
Character?
John Cobretti.
Were you aware of that, Roy?
Yes, I was.
Cobra is such a much better title than Cabretti.
It is a totally different movie, Cabretti. Cabretti is what I ordered at Italian restaurants. I don't want just the Cobra. I want it Bretti.
Listen, and this is a rare mistake for me on the Cobra front. I stand corrected. It was Marion Cobretti.
Okay. As long as it's Cabretti, I think we're good.
Well, wait a minute. I think we might have caught Roy in a lie by not correcting correcting Stugatz there on that.
No, I knew his last name was Cabretti. I didn't know his first name, but yeah, Marion. Yeah, that's his name.
Doesn't look like a Marion.
Chris, let's talk some more. Also a different movie, Cobra, if you make it Marion instead of Cabretti or Cobra. Chris, let's talk more about what an asshole your father is. Tell me more stories about what happened this weekend with him. Again, if you do not know, Greg Cody got a big boost. He was also telling me that his newspaper story on this in the Herald got more clicks than like anything except the biggest of hurricane coverage on the Miami Herald.
He's been waiting for his son to get fired his entire life.
It was a weird thing to watch him, Chris, because he kept giving voice to how heartfelt his pain was, but also while angling at every turn for the story.
I'm convinced that he is genuinely upset that I'm back with the show.
No.
Because, I'm kind of kidding. But the way he's acted and how excited he's been for this bump for his podcast, like, he would coat everything with, this is them showing how much they love you. This is all you. Look what you did. And it's just like, but Dad, you're celebrating this. You're texting this to all your friends and want to, he literally, like I said it before, he wants to frame a picture. He wasn't kidding about that. He wants to frame that picture of my pain. He wants to frame the picture that comes from one of the worst weekends of my entire life.
Look what you did. You got fired.
Yes. Look, it is such a weird thing for Cody. Now, I do think if he had simply betrayed you the way he betrayed me in terms of announcing my engagement, that would have been a magical way for that story to end up breaking. Greg Cody, against the wishes of his son, not understanding that his son would like to do it his way, simply breaks the story and makes you eat the consequences. It also probably would have been horrible for him because at the moment, Dominique Foxworth is the only one who seems to hate your father. And I'm forever baffled by this. I really do need to work with those focus groups on my likability. That Greg Cody continues to do things like this, and you guys like him and love him, even though these are things that are unspeakably foul.
I genuinely lied to my dad about when I was going to tweet that out so he didn't scoop me. Like, he wanted to scoop me. He wanted to send that article out and without a tweet. And I'm just like, and then I just text him the tweet. Ha ha, got you. And then he sent out the article immediately. Like, he had that thing copy and pasted, like, ready to go.
I just can't believe, Stugatz, that we are in a place, though, where that kind of movement is what you get. I want you to give me a precedent as someone who actually knows sports radio and the life of sports radio. Somebody, a producer being let go, and I use just a producer in quotes, sure, just a producer being let go, and an army of people inundating the worldwide leader in sports in a way that the worldwide leader in sports is not equipped or not used to handling.
I honestly, I don't think you'll find it in sports radio, because the show is so unique in that way, where the producers are also part of the on-air content and a large part of it. So I'm not certain you'll find it. I think you'll find it with Howard Stern, you know, within a show like that, if one of his producers were let go, which they never are, by the way. But if Gary was let go, I think you would get a similar reaction from the Howard Stern audience.
Can you explain this part to me, Mike? And I don't want to get lost in the weeds or the muck on this one, because I do want to tell the audience again and explain this, although this context probably won't be used if any of the blogs end up running with whatever is said here. But I am, and we are, really understanding that this has been a hard time for the company, a hard time for the country, and that we were less affected than most. So my hurt, or our hurt, I can say, is not because this happened, because I understand it happening. My hurt is coming in after Highly Questionable and seeing the look on Mike's face. And it's not a look I've ever seen on his face. We had a couple of other things that we were supposed to tape, and he just looks sort of scared, ashen, and wounded. It's like someone would look if I legitimately thought that he had gotten the horrible news of someone passing, because he looked so hurt by this.
This is important, because we do realize the times and the challenges for ESPN and our bosses, and we realize that obviously we're not immune to any of the cuts going on at the company. But Dan has always asked and wanted to be partners with his bosses, and a partnership means, hey, if you're going to do something, let's discuss it on the front end and see if we could figure a way out. And that's what Dan is really disappointed
about. Well, the parts, right. God, see, I understand the need for these things to be somewhat confidential. Like, I get how they should largely be confidential, but ESPN, and I get this part too as a corporation,
of course,
they never want to set anything in the way of precedence, because the moment that Trey Wingo does Cameo, then Stugatz is in an office saying, I want to do Cameo too. So the easiest way to manage these things is just not to set the precedent. You tell nobody. But the part that I don't understand and makes us play the imaging at our bosses that I don't understand is, how do you not recognize that while I don't want for us to be something that is treated incredibly differently, we are very different than everything in your environment, in that when I'm walking into a room, I'm not walking into a board op that has just been there for 3 months.
You don't get the show.
I'm walking in and finding out that one of my best friends and a mentor, that his son, who I have literally known since he is a child, has been let go, and nobody told me anything. And it's like nobody gave me any kind of heads up on anything so that I could maybe do something that wouldn't trigger what's been triggered by this.
We're a collective. We're an ensemble. We have all sorts of precedent to point to within this show that predated ESPN. When our property was assumed by ESPN, we weren't Disney employees. Not all of us. You were. Stugatz was. Everybody in the shipping container wasn't for the first couple of years. So we have that precedent. And look, I understand layoffs are a part of this business, but it's like Bad Boys. We ride together, we die together, right? So you can't take, you might as well take Stugatz off the name. You might as well take Dan. It's that. Serious
well,
for
I,
us.
I was thinking, Mike, do you think, I don't know how to do this and how to slow play this, because I am genuinely curious whether the people at ESPN are going to notice that Chris Cody is still with us.
Whether some people at ESPN notice.
I want, though, to sort of, I don't know if we can do this today, but to call my dad and sort of change the imaging so that it becomes the Chris Cody Show with Dan Levitard and Stugatz for a day.
Finally got the end.
I was thinking about I was thinking about figuring out how to crowdsource.
I kind of just want to let it breathe a little bit and see how this one plays out a little bit.
Yeah,
before
me too.
We start
me
doing
too.
Like the ribbon dance in old school.
I want to see if Baby we could. Steps, we should crowdsource. Too aggressive to crowdsource Chris's salary.
No, there's been a grassroots movement at ESPN Fan Support. So keep doing that one. We don't need a ribbon dance.
I will tell you this, by the way, just so that you know, no local hour today. This is going to be standalone. Local hour and Big Suey. This is
because
it.
We saw what happened to Greg Cody's podcast numbers, and I kind of want that for us.
That is the reason. Okay, I thought it's because we were hurting coming in late. Nah. We weren't organized, and we're tired, and we've been not sleeping all weekend.
I got to knock off PMT.
And if you want more of this stupidity later this week with Chris Cody.
You shut up.
He's hosting it.